Greetings, football fans. This is Rita, your thrice champion in the Option Pick'em Football Challenge with D&Z. Each week, we pick the winners for every NFL regular season matchup and compete to see who comes out on top. It's free to join, and the winner gets the ultimate bragging rights and a chance to record this spot next year. Are you in? Come test your skills against me, D, Z, and the rest of the league. Visit the Fade Route socials, click Join the Option, and sign up today. Good luck, and we'll see you for week one.
It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? Well, you know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG at Fade Route Podcast, or drop us a line on X at FadeRouteDNZ, and you could be next.
Part two of our interview with Daniel Belfer starts right now. If you missed part one, you know what to do. Check out this week's episode of The Fade Route with D&Z. And we're being joined by King of the Hot Takes, former Delaware Blue Hens pitcher Daniel Belfer.
Sticking with your bread and butter, let's talk some Major League Baseball. It seems like small ball's back, and bunts and steals are progressing up with teams like the Pirates and the Rays. Can that prove to be the difference in a series against a big-spending, big-market team?
As a proponent of David and David versus Goliath, I like the underdog. And to counter the mighty titans of, say, the Dodgers, of, say, the Yankees, or any other team that spends a ton, shout out to the Mets for just being an utter disappointment, but they spend a lot. But you really look at the teams like, say, the Rays, the Brewers, even the Nationals, who are doing better than people expect. Like, you look at plays where they can manufacture runs out of nowhere. Like, multiple instances of teams bunting three times in a row. Like, you just watched a clip of the Nationals taking advantage of the Brewers' closer, McGill, where he hits one guy, bunt for a hit, base hit up the middle, three bunts in a row, they score two extra. Same thing with the Padres. Like, these teams are performing much better than people expect. Tampa has no business being as dominant as they are, but because of their organizational prowess, and they run the bases well. You look at players like Chandler Simpson, who no one gave a shot to. You got DeLuca in right field. He's stealing. They have five, six guys with over double-digit steals. You know, they play the game the right way. And that's why when Freddy Peralta goes to them, they're like, oh, of course he's going to get fixed. Of course everything's going to get solved because they play the game the right way. You know, the same thing with the Brewers. You have Bryce Durant, Garrett Mitchell, Jackson Churio. They're not like these world beaters. They're not Aaron Judge. They're not Shohei Ohtani. Yet they're consistently competing. They're consistently getting to the playoffs. And if you pull together a couple good starts, like Mizorowski, I think, what is his name? Kyle Harrison. Harrison. They have quite the 1-2 punch, and all you need is to, like, sneak in a game here, sneak in a game there. Like, the Yankees utterly collapsed in the World Series after a couple, like, fielding miscues. So, like, it's, you look at the Mariners. They have an average to slightly below average WRC+. Then you look at their other underlying metrics. They're the second worst clutch hitting team. They are horrible on the bases. And that's why they're sitting below 500 with a star-studded cast. Like, Randy Arozarena, like, I still remember him holding his arm for the home run derby. What a neat celebration. I thought it was okay. But you see, like, the impact that it has when you don't have these, like, perennial superstars, dark green paths. So, I choose to live in a world where it's possible to use these tactics. If the Oakland Athletics can win 20 games in a row in Moneyball, why can't there be a new revolution? We had the industrial, now we're having the digital, now we're having the baseball small ball, equally as prevalent in society.
Well, interesting, you mentioned a revolution. Who is the team that's going to say, screw it, you're going nine? Like, who is going to push their pitchers beyond the third turn in the batting order? Because that seems to be what's missing now. If small ball is being integrated back in, it seems like the starting pitcher is like a product of a bygone era.
It's tough because every pitcher is... They're pampered. They're a pampered species these days. Any slight infringement or ailment, sit them down, take a rest, don't want to risk it. You look at the Rays a couple of years ago when they went to had a World Series run, they would only pitch their guys 5 innings max. And Blake Snell had that big controversy where he's like, don't take me out of the game, you know? I think if he was a bigger guy and more stout, he probably stays in. Like, I think I could beat him up, and I don't think I'm, like, a physical presence. Like, I'm 5'10", 190. I've lost some LBs. Shout out to me. But, like, I could beat him up, you know?
You talk about, like, if it was Brad Penny on the mound, they might have been like, all right, Brad.
Yeah, if you get the Carlos Zambranos, if you get, like, CC Sabathia when he was fat, like, you leave those guys in the game, so it kind of takes like a Madison Bumgarner mindset, which people just aren't going to have. Like, when they grow up, like all of these kids, they're on a pitch count. They need to be monitored. Everything is technical. Everything, like, they're monitoring. It's less about, oh, I'm gritty enough to get through this start. It's, what's my vertical movement paired with my horizontal, and what's the horizontal axis? You know, it's become too mathematized. That's not a word. Don't care. But for people to have that Haas mentality, it takes an ogre like Peyton Tolley to be like, hey man, I'm dumb enough to do this. Let me do it, you know? So as much as we'd all like to see the next Haas, like there's some instances, Zach Gallen used to go 9. Jacob Mizorowski's going 9. So there's some instances, you just gotta find the perfect storm of a franchise that has horrific relief pitchers, but that doesn't exist because everyone throws 97 and above. And then you gotta find like an old school coach, like a Dusty Baker or something, and just be like, I'm a coach of vibes. Let me vibe this win out. So I think you bring up a good point. I just think the juice isn't worth the squeeze, I would say, in a lot of instances.
Well, you said you're a Yankee fan, and most Yankee fans are upset that the Yankees are not the evil empire anymore. And everybody's spending money. Like, we've already mentioned it. So we're also seeing a changing of the guard in other sports, right? Like, Alabama is no longer the college football powerhouse. Kentucky is just another school in college basketball. So when is it time to entertain the idea of new blue bloods in sports?
Another great question. You guys got the best ones. That's why I tune in with DNZ on the fade route. Advertisers, take notes. These guys are pros. I think it's the like the old guard media. They're like, they want to cling on to their darlings. Like Alabama, they still have that kind of pedigree, even though they have disappointing season after disappointing season. Like, you could claim that Oregon is more of a blue blood than Alabama right now. They seem more consistent. I know that's a stretch. I know I'm taking a leap of faith here, but it's for the argument. Like, Canada used to be the powerhouse in hockey. America's got that now. Take that, maple syrup. UNC, they used to be a powerhouse in basketball. Now I'd say it's UConn. Yankees, they used to be, like, this really is a thorn in my side. I'm going to put my irrational fan hat on right now. I loved being the bad guy. I root for nothing but losers. The Giants, they stink. The Devils underperform. The Nets, oh my god, do they make me sad. Our best Nets player of all time wasn't even predominant. He won a championship with the Mavs. Shout out to Jason Kidd. So I root for such losers to have like a predominant winner where I can just kind of stomp on all the losers around me. I used to make fun of Mets fans, Red Sox fans. To not have that feather in my cap anymore makes me a sad, disgruntled boy. We used to buy all the players. We got Mark Teixeira, A-Rod, all of these fucking superstars. We even got Brian McCann past his prime just for shits and gigs.
Sizzle Fielder, Jose Canseco, Chuck Knoblauch.
Like, yeah, we're the bad boys on the block, you know? We're both the Sharks and the Jets, the worst parts of them. You know, and so to see the Dodgers take over that role makes me a sad guy because now I'm little bro. Like, I have a little sister. I've never been the little bro. I don't know how to handle this. So I think to your original question of when do we call it, I think if we set terms out, like, it's like if you don't win a championship in 10 years, you lose your status. I also think that maybe we could come up with a cooler blood taxonomy or nomenclature for these new kids on the block. Maybe the new bloods or the amethyst bloods, you know, give them a real fun title. Or maybe ADs and presidents have to submit a formal claim to like a formal board, and there's a public hearing for it. Like, I'd love to hear Kurt Cignetti give his proposal as to why Indiana's a blue blood. I'd love that. That would be
look
must
me
fun.
Up.
Yeah, but like, aren't you guys tired of being like, yeah, these are like UCLA blue blood. They haven't been good in a while. Like, you have these teams that are claiming on to like past success. Like, doesn't that like ruffle your guys' tail feathers?
Yeah. It seems like it's a dying breed to me. It seems like the Yankees are willing to relinquish this evil empire kind of belt. Kentucky, though, and Alabama, I think those college teams are trying to still hold on to those things. And, of course, the Cowboys, right? The Cowboys still holding on to, like, those 90s eras. But even, I think, there's a part of them that realize that there's a business side to this, and they're crushing that. And, oh, yeah, if we win the championship, that's the cherry on top. But really, you know, we got the cheerleaders, we got the media deals, we're selling out our stadium, we're okay. You know, mm-hmm. So I think there's a part of them that is willing to relinquish parts of that blue blood attitude, but then they're still reaping the benefits on the other side, right? Even though the Yankees are not the evil empire anymore, they're still one of the most valuable, you know, teams in the world, right? We saw the Knicks finally get on board and finally win a championship for the first time in so long. Could they be a team that now regains what they were in the 90s or even in the late 70s? It would be interesting to see if that happens.
Yeah. I think you need it, not from the standpoint of the finances, because, I mean, look what's happening. We're going to have a lockout next year in baseball. It is bound to happen. So, you know, get ready for March. The three of us are going to be in scab camp. But you need name recognition. You need the cachet of the Lakers. You need the cachet of the Cowboys, even though they haven't done shit since 95. Sorry, it's true. Even teams like the Steelers and the Packers, they got lapped by the Chiefs. Like, the Chiefs are that nouveau riche team in the NFL. So, you know, it's hard to say that, you know, it's great that you wouldn't have these adversaries, but you need it. Like, you need it, even if it's just on name recognition. Baseball without Yankees Red Sox is kind of boring. Yankees Red Sox rivalry is nothing compared to what it used to be. Like, Giants Dodgers, that's still kind of heated. Dodgers Padres is more heated, I would say. But you kind of need bad guys. You need bad guys in sports.
Yeah, I don't even really know what kind of rivalries are out there right now. I mean, you were at that 1-0 Pedro game when the Yankees played.
Dude, Pedro Clemens, that was amazing.
Yeah, Pedro Clemens, and they both pitched pretty much the whole game. There's just nothing like that anymore.
No, I don't know, there was that fun scrap with the Pirates and the Reds like a year or two ago with that no-name pitcher that threw like a wicked punch. I think it missed, but you're absolutely correct. There are no, like, the Boston Yankees series, that's not as heated as it once was. You know, you look at around different leagues, it's hard to find. It's hard to manifest it. Like, it's, especially when things are so corporatized these days, like, it may, I don't want to say it takes the passion out of stuff, but like, I don't know. So you're absolutely correct. Evil needs to exist. Every yin needs its yang, so to speak. I don't even know who came up with yin yang. I was going to quote them, but I don't know it. But yes, we do need that bad guy. Like, it's fun to point, like, I'm a dumb simpleton. I like going, there's the bad guy. You know? Like, that's awesome. We lost Wander Franco. Can't use him as a bad guy anymore. We lost, like, Aroldis Chapman. You can point to him as a bad guy, but like it's harder when things are so spread out, I guess. But I completely agree. Shout out to the Cowboys collapsing. I love that. That really makes me happy.
They have more ex quarterbacks with Dewey arrests than they do playoff appearances. That's amazing. Shout out Tony Romo. We love you, Tone. Say the alphabet backwards. Did I pass?
No, I didn't pass.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
Big Fork Brands brings bold bacon sausage, paleo pork jerky, and Chicago-style sauces to your table. Enjoy rich, smoky flavors made with sustainable ingredients and chef-crafted care. Enjoy an exclusive 20% discount with our promo code DNZ. Find them at BigForkBrands.com. That's 20% off using our promo code DNZ at BigForkBrands.com.
Well, we'll get you out of here on this one, Dan. The baseball challenge system, ABS, has been widely accepted this year by teams, umpires, and fans. Do you think other leagues will expand replay or adapt a Major League Baseball type system?
I think some leagues will be quicker than others. Tennis already has it. That's where we got it from, the Hawk system. I forget what the specific name is. Some bird. Tennis already has it. People are tired and sick of seeing Luka Doncic complain over every call. James Harden complain over every call. Josh Hart gets super animated when he doesn't get the call his way. Why not institute a challenge system? Like, it immediately solves that problem, you know? Football players experience the same thing. While it's not as, like, in-your-face, hey, here's a complaint, it still happens. Hockey, they're blue-collar tough, not even gonna cut. Shout out to the hockey guys, they rule. I'd hang out with, I'd love to get a beer with them. Anyone, don't care who, except for Sidney Crosby. He doesn't like fights. He needs to grow up. But I think there's other instances, like, people love the bending of the rules. Maybe games start allowing cheating just so they can introduce a challenge system. Like, what if esports starts letting players cheat, use, like, banned guns or weapons? Challenge, can't use that gun, nope. And then they get a penalty. Cup stacking. You're using not regulation-sized cups. Challenge. You know, I'd watch that on ESPN The Ocho. Speed chess. You make an illegal move. Challenge. What if Magnus Carlsen makes an illegal move? I'd love to see him get called for cheating. That would be awesome.
Just as long as when you challenge, you have to tap your head like this. Even have to rub your stomach, too. Tap your head and rub your stomach. You know, make it challenging. You're challenged. It's a challenge, right? So it should be challenging.
I love that wrinkle. Yes, for like how much leeway you get with the referee or umpire, the more difficult the routine must be. Like, you jump on one leg with the rubbing and the tapping of the stomach and whatnot.
Oh, you're really looking to get it overturned by doing that.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I really think I'm correct here. You need to take my
tap stomach. Your head, backflip. It's funny. Backflip, split. Man. Oh, we're not even going to look at the replay. This is overturned.
No, we're good.
You're good, man. You got it. Done deal. Nice work there.
It's funny that you mention league should allow cheating. Did you see the enhanced games? Like, that's, you know, that's absolutely absurd.
I love it.
The Juiced Olympics?
Like, yeah, give me it. Why? Everybody's just like, I want to see the best athletes compete. I say let them cheat. Who does it hurt? Them. They live shorter lives. They get mood swings, you know? Like, that's all negatives for them. As a viewer, oh my, Jose Canseco hitting mammoth bombs? Fun. Roger Clemens just pumping unbelievable gas? Fun. David Ortiz, by the way, he gets a pass because he's a nice and he has a nice smile and he says, "Go Yankees!" Ah, dude, get over it. You said it once, it was funny one time, grow up. But, like, I want to see these mammoths of people. I say give Derrick Henry all of the steroids in the world. Get him even bigger. I don't care. I want him to run over defensive linemen like they're paper. That would make me happy. You know, like, so, again, I understand it's disgracing the game. It's disrespectful to the other athletes. Shut up. Do it yourself. If you don't want to, cool. You're probably a better family member because of it. However, I want to see the roided to the gills guy do things that were thought unthinkable. Barry Bonds is probably a great player without steroids, but does he have those ridiculous stats that seem, like, unfathomable if he doesn't? Probably not. You know, he said, like, those roided guys saved baseball. Like, I don't know. I'd love to see John Jones on roids. Give them all. I'd say the more the merrier. Introduce stronger steroids, too.
I'd actually like to see John Jones go to a Flyers game with a Ranger jersey on. That would be fun.
Yeah, it's like the guy that wore the Spurs jersey in New York. I say let him at it.
Oh my goodness. Daniel Belfort, thank you for joining us, brother. And if you want to be the newest member of the In Crowd, hit us up, faderoutmail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG at Faderout Podcast. Drop us a line on X at FaderoutDNZ. And you could be next. Daniel Belfort, thank you for coming on, brother. And where can people find you for these incredible tapes?
Nowhere, I guess. I don't know. I'm not like an online guy. I just do this for the love of the game. So thanks for having me on. I just like chopping it up with the fellas. You guys are funny. You guys are smart.
And for everyone tuning in, check out the Fade Route. Like, subscribe, smash all those buttons, hit that bell, do what you gotta do, support the businesses. No, but seriously, thank you. This was a lot of fun. And if anyone else is worried about coming on, don't be. These guys rule.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.